Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is not only Populous Zion, it is also the day that the church remembers a great saint of the Western Church, the Latin Father, St. Ambrose of Milan. St. Ambrose is a name that you are at least somewhat familiar with, even if you don't remember it. His hymn is considerably one of the best Advent hymns that is in our hymnal, Savior of the Nations Come. In the Lutheran hymnal, it was listed as a Christmas hymn, and it really does go back and forth between the two. St. Ambrose is remembered by us not just for his incredible hymn writing. He is remembered among us as one of the greatest doctors, one of the four greatest doctors of the Latin Church. St. Augustine, St. Jerome, the translator of Scripture, and St. Gregory the Great stand among St. Ambrose. Ambrose was a man that was so good at his secular job, of his job also that God had raised him up to be governor of the city. He was so good at that and so well loved that they forced him to become a bishop even before he was baptized. He was so good at speaking that they said, "You must be our new bishop. We elect you." And he was hurriedly through baptism, through First Communion, through the catechumen process, and ordained, and then served as bishop. He understood that that task, he was not quite ready for it. He tried to say no, but the people would not be deterred. And so here are some words of St. Ambrose regarding that. "I do not, therefore, claim for myself the glory of the apostles, for who can do this save those whom the Son of God himself has chosen, nor the grace of the prophets, nor the virtue of the evangelists, nor the cautious care of the pastors. I only desire to attain that care and diligence in the sacred writings, which the apostle has placed last among the duties of the saints. And this very thing I desire, so that in the endeavor to teach, I may be able to learn. For one is the true master, who alone has not learned what he taught to all. But men learn before they teach, and receive from him what they may hand on to others. But not even this was the case with me, for I was carried off from the judgment seat and the garb of office to enter on the priesthood, and began to teach you what I myself had not yet learned. So it happened that I began to teach before I began to learn. Therefore, I must learn and teach at the same time, since I had no leisure to learn before. I think I shall not seem to be taking too much on myself if in the midst of my children I yield to my desire to teach, seeing that the master of humility himself has said, 'Come ye children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord,' Psalm 34. We therefore, being anxious to imitate his reverence for God, and not without justification in dispensing grace, deliver to you, as to children, those things the Spirit of wisdom has imparted to him." So important was that office of teaching, so important was it to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, Ambrose took that job up, compelled into it, and never refused to stop learning and studying. Ambrose was the man who would ultimately catechize Augustine, giving him the gospel of Jesus Christ that Augustine had turned away from earlier in his life. Hearing Ambrose preach, the Holy Spirit worked through that man to deliver, arguably for us, especially as Lutherans, the most important church father, St. Augustine, teaching him and baptizing him. St. Ambrose also is remembered among us as a man of great conviction. I think about the fact that too often we deal with public sins only privately. We do not deal with them publicly. And we are too afraid to talk to those who are considered to be above us about it. But in St. Ambrose's time, There was Arianism around him, Arianism, that ancient heresy that denied that Jesus had always been the eternal Son. And on top of that, the emperor, a man who was a Christian by that point, had considerably given great harm to the people. In retaliation for mocking, Theodosius had thousands of people put to death by his soldiers because of it. Ambrose was left with a choice. As the bishop of that city, what do you do with the emperor who has ordered such a terrible tragedy? Now, he could talk to him privately. He could say, you know what, it's okay, I don't want to rock the boat. You come back and commune right away. But Ambrose did neither of those things. Ambrose required the emperor of all of Rome to publicly repent before he would give him the sacrament again. That is a man of God. That is a man that all bishops, district presidents, synod presidents, vice presidents, circuit visitors, and I dare say pastors should have. The conviction that we are dealing with the things, the mysteries of God. The public repentance of the emperor was his penance for committing such a heinous thing. May God raise up faithful men of the cloth to point people to this confession of faith, to this confession of sins, to repentance, and to the forgiveness won by Jesus Christ. This message was not just for Ambrose and Augustine. It was not just meant for Theodosius. This message is for the whole world. The Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles second. The word Gentile in our Romans lesson is ethne, the ethnicities of the world, the heathens, the nations. All of these are wrapped up. And notice what it says all nations throughout the world are called to do. They're not called to worship false gods. Those days are done. They are called to cast out those dumb idols that cannot speak, that are made with hands, and instead worship the only Lord, the only God, the only King over all of creation. The things of the Old Testament were written down for our instruction, both the prophecies that very clearly point us to Jesus in his fulfillment, and their mistakes so that we could actually learn from them instead of following into the same ones. How many times have we read the Old Testament and seen that when they get too big for themselves, they forget that it is God's hand that had provided for them? And they chase after false gods that are not the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what does God send them? He sends them calamities. He sends them plagues and diseases. He sends them punishment. Those people who were called by his name then cry out for his forgiveness because the prophets had proclaimed that they must return to God. God hears their prayers for mercy, and he is merciful, and he forgives them their sins, and they go right back to doing it again. We live in one of the greatest places of all the world, but it is only great because God is the one who has provided for it. Would that we would return to confessing him individually, as our communities, as our state, as our nation. Confessing that all authority has been granted for us by him, but to glorify him and to serve the neighbor. Would that we would have patience. We are playing a long game here. Yes, there is an immediacy. Today is the day that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day that we need to repent of our own sins and receive the cross. But we need to take the patient long game too. If someone has rejected your invitation to church, if someone has said no thank you, to when you've said, do you know about Jesus? Do we leave it at that? Or do we try again? This community has been richly blessed by God. And you could see the beauty of the celebration just last night. But if we do not return to Him, if we reject what He has given and instead look at ourselves and believe that we can put other gods aside Him, we are sorely mistaken. All the nations, includes our own communities, all the nations, includes in my individual life. Our prayer is that we confess and proclaim Jesus Christ. It was truly beautiful to see this giant lit up cross on top of that truck last night with the banner that was in our worship service in the park. To see Christ is King lit up to remind people that this is the truth. That He is above a mayor. He is above a chairman or a president. He is above a governor or a representative. He is above all of us. And then the manger scene to remind us why we have a Christmas parade in the first place. It is not for that jolly guy that took up the rear at the end of the parade in the fire truck. However, everybody in that fire truck was jolly. It is Jesus. It is the birth of Jesus. It is His coming in the flesh for the purpose of dying for the sins of us and for everyone at that parade and for everyone in our community and for the world. All nations will sing out to Him, will glorify Him. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles. I will sing to your name. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. This Rodix, Yesi, the root of Jesse. Yes, it had been cut down. Because they had turned so far away from Him. But God left His promise intact. From the root of Jesse came the Savior, Jesus the Christ. He who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in Him the Gentiles shall hope. This is the God of hope that fills us with all joy and peace in believing. I am hopeful for the day when Jesus Christ does ride in on those clouds as He prophesied. I am hopeful and joyful for the day when I won't fall on the ice again and get hurt. I am thankful for the day when the people that I love will never be tormented by their own demons or suicidal thoughts or depression, anger, cancers. I am hopeful and I am joyful for the day that death is finally trampled under feet. The devil can no longer tempt me or any of you. I am hopeful and I am joyful for the day when those trumpets will sound, the angels and the archangels and all those people that we have loved that have gone before us in the faith will be joined in their bodies with us. I am joyful and I am hopeful that on that day, we will have eternal communion with Jesus. The Son of Man is coming. It is closer today than when we first believed. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded not to neglect meeting together, especially building each other up as the day draws near. We talked about this in Bible study this morning. The day is drawing near. Build one another up, but build them up in the Lord. Encourage them to worship every single Sunday. Encourage them to come on Wednesdays. Encourage them to pray, to read the scriptures, to build one another up. Heaven and earth will pass away, not by a flood, but by a consuming fire. A cleansing fire. But his words will never pass away. Jesus Christ is the Word, is the God who took flesh, who dwelt among us, who lived a perfect life, who died a death we deserve, who is raised from the dead, who is ascended on high, and who is going to return. The church sings. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won. By your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.